Hello and welcome to Dragon Football Weekly. I'm Tucker Green alongside Jess Walker in studio this week, coming off of a big Dragon season open win last Friday night at home in Jasper against the Sonorville Phoenix. It was a great game, Jess. We were very, very pleased with the crowd and attendance to come out and support the Dragons in this season opener. And, of course, the big win, 38-21 final score for the Dragons to start this season off on a really strong note. We talked in our episode last week about the importance of the Dragons starting out strong this year, as that was something they struggled with last season, most of their wins coming in the final five games of the year for them. But they were able to get a big victory Friday night and kind of get some momentum going in as they have the rest of non-region play.
Yeah, it's so much more enjoyable to do this when we can kick it off with a big win like we got last Friday night. I had a lot of fun doing it, and it's not to say that you know, I haven't enjoyed this past 2 years. We had a good season last year by the time it was all said and done. But it was great to get out there, excited to be back out there for the opener, and even better to win it. The game was sort of as expected from my point of view. There was some parts of it that were unexpected as far as we're going to talk about new faces involved, especially in the passing game, receivers. There was some of that that was unexpected, but the outcome of the game and the style of play is kind of what we thought it would be. It was high scoring, and we thought that Sonorville would have a little bit of drop off as far as they graduated a lot of people on defense, a handful of their skill players. They did retain their quarterback, Jackson Pate, who had a great game. But as far as the way the game ended up, I think it was as expected.
Yeah, I think that it was a high-scoring offensive affair for sure. That was one big key takeaway, especially in the first half. Dragon defense strengthened up in the second half. But it was a very competitive game. We got to see one of the things I really enjoyed, I thought we really got a good preview of the Dragon football team. We got to see how these seniors are going to play. We got to see how they're going to use Hayden Jones, backup quarterback, getting him in as a receiver on the offensive side of the ball. We got to see them really utilize some of these sophomores and some people that are going to fill in some gaps. We talked last week about Marcus Pike not returning this year, which was going to be a big loss, but we saw people like Ezra Faber. We saw people like, as I said, Hayden Jones, McCord Purdy. Those are weapons that the Dragon offense, Scott Hamilton, really going to be able to use and did so very effectively against the Phoenix last night. Maybe for those that didn't get to tune in last Friday night, maybe you can kind of give a recap on the rundown of the game for everybody.
Yeah, we'll just kind of go by it step by step. I'm not going to sit here and read everything that we have off of our drive chart and that sort of thing. But if you missed out, this will be a good opportunity for you to kind of catch up how it went down. All offense early. Dragons opened up the game with a scoring drive capped off by a one-yard touchdown from Miguel Salto. Sonorville quickly answered on a 60-yard touchdown pass to equal it up. We followed that with another scoring drive, three straight scoring drives to open the game combined by each team with a touchdown pass. There's where you mentioned McCord Purdy. He gets on the board first. And then we finally got the first stop of the game came keyed by a botch snap, which was something we saw a lot of trouble with Sonorville, the exchange from their center to their quarterback. So a botch snap leads to a sack, first of three by Charlie Gibbons. We're going to talk a lot about him, and we will have him on this show with us later today after his outstanding performance. But that really keyed the first stop of the game and allowed Pickens to get out to a 21-7 lead early in the second quarter. That was, again, though, answered on a long Sonorville drive to make it 21-14 with about 3 minutes to go, and the score remained there from the half. So we'll go back and forth a little bit. How did you feel at halftime?
I felt that the team looked good, very solid, but I thought we were in a really competitive matchup. I thought it would be a close second half, really anybody's game. I did feel like the Dragons had the momentum to end the half. As you said, they had a one-score lead, so I certainly felt like Pickens was the favorite to win the game, but I thought it was definitely a close matchup. But I felt really good. I thought, if anything, tweak-wise, probably going to have to come on the defensive side of the ball, and I really feel like we saw that in the second half.
Yeah, things slowed down a lot. I did not expect it to go as slow as it did after the way the game opened. Sonorville received the second half kick, and again, a Charlie Gibbons sack led to a forced punt there. You'll find that theme common in all of the stops that the Dragons had versus Sonorville. They seem to be helped out by a sack, and more often than not, a sack from Gibbons. So after that stop, Hayden Jones catches a 20-yard touchdown pass from C.J. Stryker to make it another two-score lead. And as the as it had kind of been all night, Sonorville strikes back. It was like one team would have a punch and the other team would punch back to make it 28-21. That score carried into the third quarter, where the Dragons started the quarter with a turnover on downs. Now, the biggest play of the game, I think, comes with about 7 minutes left in the game. Pickens is leading 28-21. Another botched snap. Like I said, we saw a lot of trouble on the exchange from the center to the quarterback with Sonorville, something that I definitely think will be a teaching point from their coaches in practice this week. But after that fumble was recovered by the quarterback, he tried to make something out of it. Gibbons comes up with his third sack of the game, this time forces a fumble, which is picked up by Jacob Watson and returned nearly 50 yards. I believe they were around the 40-yard line when this ensued. And that opens up yet another two-score lead for the Dragons. They were able to hold on to that, actually capped off late in the game on a 27-yard field goal from our main man, Charlie Gibbons, there again. So his fingerprints were all over this game. That's why we're going to have him on today. He also didn't get the opportunity to come on with some of the other seniors preseason. So I'm excited to have him on today. We'll talk about his game on Friday night in addition to some other things. But that's a recap of your game. A great game for the Dragons. Great game to be a part of through and through. Entertaining to me, not until the final whistle, but probably until that fumble six happens and until the last 5 minutes of the game or so, both teams were in it all night.
It was no doubt a bright start for the Dragons. I think you felt the electricity, really, in the stadium. Fans were into the game all night long. They had a great home crowd. I know that gave the team some motivation, but Coach Myers had this team focused. We talked about last week. They were very focused all summer long, getting in the reps. I think they played with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. You know, they went over to Sonorville last season to start the year off, lost to the Phoenix, and I saw that. I thought Coach Myers, I was actually texting him over the weekend, he used the word edge. He said his players played with an edge on Friday night, and I think you could see that. Anybody that would watch the game or listen to our broadcast could sense and feel that the team was playing with that edge, which led to their victory to start the season off 38-21 again Friday night against the Sonorville Phoenix. You noted several key players. We've talked about it already. I want to highlight just a few real quick. Charlie Gibbons, undoubtedly the player of the game. He was actually named the player of the week by an affiliate. And I believe Coach Myers had something to do with that. I think he maybe selects who, of course, is the player every week. But undoubtedly anybody that watched that game or listened to the game knew that Charlie was leading with 7 tackles, 3 sacks, forced fumble, 4-for-4 PAT, 23-yard field goal, 4 touchbacks. For those of you that do not know, senior Charlie Gibbons obviously is the kicker for the team, but also a force on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, and I want to cut in real – an unusual combination there, and that's we're going to talk to that to Charlie about that in his interview. But I think that's such a – normally – you do not hear about a place kicker slash defensive lineman. And it's so unique. And his ability to execute both of his roles is really showed up Friday night.
Absolutely.
But resume with the highlighting players other than Charlie.
Well,
that made a big impact.
I appreciate you pointing out to the uniqueness of that for Charlie. And like I said, we're going to touch on that just a little later on in the show. We're excited about having him on. And, of course, I don't know if we've hinted yet or not, we will have the head Dragon as well back on. Grant Myers, head coach, will be joining us later in this show too to give his thoughts on the game, and more importantly, as we kind of turn to week two, I know he's already turned his attention to the North Murray Mountaineers, and we're going to have a preview of that later on in the broadcast as well. But looking back last week, I noted earlier sophomore Hayden Jones really came out and showed a great performance. He had 6 receptions, 111 yards, and a touchdown on the night. Hayden is just a great athlete. He's got a lot of height on him. He's been in youth football, youth sports, middle school, now in high school. He's actually technically the backup quarterback. Coach Myers talked to us last week or earlier in the season about how that Hayden was able to get in some reps for a couple weeks actually this summer at quarterback while Sam Stryker was out of town, out of the country actually, and allowed Hayden to really get a good feel at the quarterback position. They don't feel he's ready just yet for that role. They feel good with Stryker taking the snaps. But a player as talented and as athletic as Hayden, Coach Myers wanting to get him in, and they certainly showed that Friday night. He was a big part of the offense. We see that continuing throughout the rest of the year. But also saw several players that we called out last year. Miguel Salto, big part of this Dragon offense, their main running back, had a very strong night. He, too, had a touchdown on the night. Could have had more than one, but I think one was called back, if I remember correctly,
Jess.
McCord Purdy, we started hearing him a little last year, especially mid-late season. He's going to be a big part of this offense going forward. Also, just a sophomore, got a lot of ways to go, but a big part and a very talented young man. And a name we really didn't hear much last year that they were able to get him in at a few different ways on the offensive side of the ball was Ezra Faber, and we expect him to probably be a big part of this team moving forward.
Yeah, McCord, I think he had a much bigger game. I mentioned this several times during the broadcast than what you could see on the stat sheet because I believe he drew two. I know he drew at least two pass interference penalties that, of course, you know, if he's not interfered with, could go for long gains. And, you know, that he's at least netting 15 yards a pop on those, so that's at least 30 yards he contributed. Had those wound up being no flags on the play and complete passes, they could have been much larger gains. So his impact maybe not seen as much in Hayden Jones's as Hayden Jones's in the stat sheet, but I believe they kind of both left their mark on that game equally, and they'll continue to, I think, throughout the rest of the season. Sam Stryker, he's kind of one that we is kind of left out here as he's the guy throwing to all these guys. So they can't have a good game unless he has a good game and vice versa. You talked about Hayden Jones being the backup quarterback. I think that when he takes over that role in the coming years, as is assumed, that his time at receiver will be very beneficial to him as far as knowing the offense from both points of view. Those are correlated roles, and I think him having spent time in both of them will pay off greatly to him when he does take over that quarterback position as we expect him to next season after Sam graduates.
Good point. I think Coach Myers probably has that in the back of his mind too, as an investment long term of this player and what that's going to look like on this team going forward. Big night. That's the main takeaway. Big night for the Dragons. Started this season out on the right note. That, I believe, will feed so much into the players' motivation, their excitement about this season, the coaches, the fans, everybody. I don't think you can understate how big it was for that team to get that big win on Friday night, to show they're clicking on, I'm not going to say every cylinder. They still got work to do, progress to do, and I think Coach Myers will say that later on in this show, but I think it was a very, very strong start for the season.
No, it was, no doubt. I'm looking forward to this upcoming Friday. And last year early on, at least, there was not a lot of that, that excited type feeling. You had tough losses. You had a tough non-region schedule. And I don't think the non-region schedule is weak by any means this year. I think it has weakened, and I think that we have also strengthened. So both of those factors combined should be a good outlook for the remaining three games of this non-region schedule.
On the other side of this break with our sponsors, we're going to sit down and get some real team perspective. Senior Charlie Gibbons, player of the game, will be on with us. We're going to hear his thoughts from that special young man, and then, of course, the head dragon himself, Grant Myers, later on in the show. Stay with us and a little more preview of the North Murray Mountaineers later on, right here on Dragon Football Weekly. Do want to quickly thank our sponsors, Northside Hospital, Community Bank of Pickens County, Culver's of Jasper, Piedmont Mountainside, Alpha Insurance, Bill Lawrence Agency, Jape Services, ETC, Pueblo Cantina, Pickens County Recycling, and J.L. Weaver Law Firm. Without these sponsors, this coverage of Pickens football would not be possible. I want to thank them. Stay right here. We'll be back on the other side of this break on Dragon Football Weekly.
With Northside Hospital, you can look forward to new beginnings, look ahead to comeback seasons, and look up for hope and strength. Northside welcomes you into our community of care, guided by one clear direction, a mission to heal. Led by our expertise in maternity, heart, cancer, orthopedics, and more, you can move into tomorrow with confidence. For a healthier future together, look to Northside Hospital.
Feed all the hungry people in your family at Culver's of Jasper. Their signature butter burgers are fresh, never frozen, and the frozen custard is the perfect treat. Culver's of Jasper is locally owned and operated by local people who care about our community. Their passion for fresh food is as strong as their love for the community. They're proud of where they're located and how their local roots have made them who they are. Get fresh food now at Culver's of Jasper, just in front of Walmart.
Finding the right home for your family is important. The journey can be time-consuming and difficult. You want the right size, the perfect location, and great internet. ETC makes it easy to see what internet services you can get for your future or current home. Visit etcfiber.com, enter your address, and get an overview of all available services with pricing. No more internet surprises. Check before you buy. Make sure your home is right for you with ETC Ignite Internet, offering speeds up to 2.5 gigs. Call 844-708-5288 or visit etcfiber.com.
Back now on Dragon Football Weekly, Tucker Green alongside Jess Walker, and we're excited to have Senior Dragon Charlie Gibbons join us at this time on the broadcast. Charlie, how are you?
I'm doing very well, sir. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. We're excited to have you on this week, especially after that performance you had last Friday night. No doubt the player of the game had to have been an exciting night for you in senior year, season opener Friday night in front of all those fans. Tell us what it meant for you to have a game like you had.
It meant the world to me to come out senior night. It's the first home game I'm most likely going to ever play in football. I just wanted to go out and do my best, and it was without a doubt the best game I've ever played. And I was just so happy for myself that I was able to put on a very good performance, but also for the team, because last year we started out our record, the first five games was not something that felt very great, but then starting the season off with just a win in general feels so much better than starting off with a negative feeling to the season.
Yeah, no doubt. We basically talked about kind of the same thing in our intro to the show. It's much more exciting, obviously not as exciting as it is for you guys, but it's makes our jobs a lot easier broadcasting wins in the early going. So Charlie, one thing that I highlighted too is how unique your two roles are in terms of you don't always see them match up with one another. And what I mean by that is you typically don't see a guy on the roster listed as both a defensive lineman and a place kicker. And I think it shows your versatility to be able to do both. And I just had a couple questions about those two roles because I find them so interesting that you do each. As far as like practice time, how much is dedicated to one or the other? How do you split that?
Most of it's focusing on what I play most of the time, which is the defensive end. So that's where most of the time is relegated. But whenever we first head down to practice, we have a specialty period is what we call it. And that's where you can get individual work on whether it be your punts, your PATs, your kickoffs, anything like that that you want to work on. You have the option to do it right there. And then throughout practice, we have special teams periods where it's live reps. And that's where you get a lot of the work of actually improving how you're going to do in a game-like situation.
Okay, cool. That's a very insightful answer there. And then another question I had, kicking is it's not exactly what everybody aspires to do when you're growing up, that sort of thing. It's not like so-and-so wants to be the quarterback or other roles, pitcher on a baseball team, things like that. How did you get started in kicking, and how were you able to kind of find that you had that skill?
So it started off back when I was 6 or 7, rec league sports. I tried out for soccer one year, and I absolutely loved it. And I went the next year, tried out for T-ball, and for lack of a better word, I hated it. So I went back to soccer, and it was my first love in terms of sports. I've played every year, continuing up through upcoming my senior year. And it's basically like, if you play soccer and you play football, go see how you are at kicking. And it turned out, I was decent, but then I put in a lot of work over the summer of my sophomore year, got good at kickoffs, and worked a lot on PATs, narrowed down the consistency, and that funneled into playing kicker and place kicker. And then this summer, I just worked on keeping everything polished, and that continued on into this season.
It's a neat story, yours is, Charlie. It really is. It's been neat for me to watch. I don't want to sound like that old guy, because I'm not that old, but I have been fortunate to watch you grow up, so to speak, and it's cool to see how you have really grown into the player and athlete you are, and the young man you are. No doubt an asset to the football team, but also I would say to Pickens High School as a whole. Two things. I have one final specific football question, and then more just life generally. But literally at one point Friday night, I saw you had the forced fumble sack. They got ran in for a touchdown. You go out, kick the PAT, and then you go out to kick off back to St. Orville. Do you ever run out of your breath? Do you ever have a hard time figuring out where you're going, what position you're playing? Things move so quickly on the field Friday nights.
Oh, most definitely. After the fumble got knocked loose and Jacob ran it back for the touchdown, I was getting ready to just run off the field. I was halfway over there, and Coach Mack threw me a little tee that I used for PAT. And I'm like, oh, Lord, I got to go do this. So I got back there. I took my steps, three back, two over. And I was sitting there in my stance, and my chest was just heaving. So I'm like, I look at this, the little clock that just tells us how much time we have. And it still says 23. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to take a couple of these seconds here. I caught my breath, hit the PAT, and then we have a minute or so before kickoff, and that allows you to recuperate, get your mind settled, get back out there.
Very cool. Well, you make it all look seamless. If you ever are struggling out there, we couldn't tell it up from our point of view. Yeah. So, great job. Just a great game Friday night. Shifting over to a little more down the road, certainly you have your athletic abilities, what we've talked about from the football perspective, soccer team and others, but you're also a very smart young man. You do very well academically. What are your post high school plans? Do you know yet? You think sports will be part of that? Do you think you'll just focus more on your academics?
Well, academics, as of right now, is providing a much more fruitful endeavor in terms of like scholarship money, because if I go to like an SEC school, most of them are going to give me out of state tuition. Plus, like, if I go into an engineering program, they're going to give me an engineering grant just for, like, GPA and ACT scores. My ACT that I recently took, I made a 33 on that. And basically how that works is that's, like, a 1480 on the SAT. And that's pretty much out-of-state tuition anywhere in America, give or take, Ivy League, some other schools. Stanford outliers such as that. But academics have always been important to me, more so than sports. That's just who I am as a person. If I have the opportunity to play sports at a college that has an engineering program to the caliber that I aspire to attend, then I would hope to play there. But the chances of that, I'm just not sure how it'll load, basically, is what I'm getting at. Is academics are forefront foremost, and right now that's the game plan moving forward. Alabama and Georgia Tech are the two front runners for potential candidates for an engineering school right now.
You had this Georgia Bulldog alumni until you said Alabama and Georgia Tech, Charlie, but
maybe I can brighten your hearts a bit. Whenever I went and visited Alabama, I wore a Georgia baseball cap there, got some funny looks, but it actually got me an introduction to the head of the metallurgical engineering department, which was awesome because it was in a Georgia football hat, actually got me an introduction into a department head at an engineering school. So there's another little link between football and academics, if you you want to hear something like that.
never know what opportunities will present themselves. So the good thing for you, I have little doubt that you'll have plenty of opportunities before you, and I have no doubt you'll do well wherever you decide to go.
Yeah, Charlie, I enjoyed this interview a lot. Keep up with the vocabulary. I love it. From one guy who likes to use a fancy word here and there, I appreciated several words and phrases you used today. So keep that up.
Exciting future for you, Charlie, no doubt. We can't wait to watch and see what all you do. You're making us proud, and you'll continue to do so. I think you'll have plenty of options to pick from in your future.
Thank you, sir. Thank you again for having me. I enjoyed this as well, very much.
Absolutely. Best of luck the rest of your senior year and the rest of your senior football season. We'll be watching closely and cheering you on.
Yes, sir.
Going to take a quick break. We'll check in with our sponsors. On the other side, we'll be sitting down with head coach Grant Myers. Stay with us.
Piedmont Mountainside Hospital has been a leader of quality medical care in Georgia with 16 consecutive A Hospital Safety Grades Leapfrog Group and consistently ranking in the top 5 Atlanta hospitals in patient excellence. Piedmont offers a wide range of services and specialties, including imaging, cardiac rehabilitation, and general surgery to meet the acute and long-term needs of the community. In addition, Piedmont Mountainside offers 24-hour emergency and intensive care in Jasper and in LJ. Choose Piedmont Mountainside. Real change lives here.
The word community means everything to the people of Community Bank of Pickens County. Community is much more than a name to the owners and staff. They're proud to be the area's only locally owned and operated bank and have a staff that lives in our area. They've continued to offer in-person service at both of their full-service locations while also offering you the latest online banking technology. Community Bank of Pickens County, saying go Dragons during this football season. Member FDIC.
My dad has always told me, if you want something done right, sometimes that means you just have to do it yourself.
That's right. Dan Jape here with my son, Daniel, excited to share that we're doing it right again.
Introducing Jape Services.
We're the same family that has served Atlanta with reliable heating, cooling, and plumbing services for over 5 decades.
Our professionals at Jape Services are licensed, insured, and ready to assist.
And we're doing it right.
Visit japeservices.com.
From our family
to yours,
japeservices.com.
The Pickens County Recycling Centers are open to serve all residents of Pickens County. They offer free paper shredding and free collections of typical recyclable items such as glass, cardboard, and newspaper. You can also recycle large items such as appliances and mattresses for a small fee. The main recycling center is located at 390 Appalachian Court off the 515, or visit the east side location on Cove Road in Marble Hill. The goal of the Pickens County Recycling Center is to reduce waste to our landfills.
Welcome back to Dragon Football Weekly, joined now by head coach Grant Myers exclusively on our show. We appreciate the time he gives us on this this way of bringing insight from the team to the fans. Coach, glad to have you back with us this week.
Absolutely, guys. Thank y'all for having me.
Congratulations, first and foremost. Great win Friday night. Really set the tone for this season. I know it got Jess and I excited, the fans excited, but probably few people as excited as you were, I'm sure, to see your team pretty much put all the pieces together Friday night and get a good win. I mean, I'm sure as a coach, you're going to be the toughest critic of yourself and others. I'm sure there's going to be things you can identify that y'all need to improve on, but no doubt a great start to the season.
No, it was a good start. Like you said, there's definitely things that we're going to have to make improvements on as the season progresses, but I like where we are at in terms of our development after game one, as opposed to where we were at 365 days ago. So I'm excited about the prospects of where this team can go moving forward.
Yeah, Coach, I know Tucker and I were shocked by the involvement of a few underclassmen that we didn't expect. And I know we talked to you a little bit about this in the season preview. The impact that Jones, Purdy, and Faber had, especially in the receiving game. Is that something that you've been seeing all summer and in the scrimmage, or would did that Absolutely. Even maybe exceed your expectation a little bit in game one?
It didn't exceed my expectations. I've seen this, you know, we've done a 7-on-7 or a camp at least once a week all summer. So I saw these kids competing, and the moment's not too big for them. Yes, we're going to see some times that they have sophomore mistakes. from time to time, but at the end of the day, they're an extremely talented group of kids. And my job as the head football coach is to put the best pieces in positions to be successful, and they're the best pieces we've got right now in those positions. And the exciting part is they're only going to get better.
Yes, we've talked about those three. We talked about the great game Charlie had, obviously just starting off the year on the right foot. If we had to pick something that will be keyed on in practice this week to improve on, what did you take away in that aspect from Friday night?
All right, a couple things. One, you saw they scored the first touchdown to tie it up 7-7. We had a busted coverage there. We're going to have to be a little bit more clean with that moving forward. Not so much this week against North Murray based on what we'll see from a schematic point there, but just overall moving forward, we're going to have to clean up on that because while we played really well offensively, we can't gift people touchdowns. We have to do what we did the other two drives where we forced Sonoraville to drive the field and score on us. You know, we held them inside the inside the 5-yard line for 9 straight plays. I was extremely impressed with our effort there. And so I think that's something that we can build on. And then I'll tell you this, we got a little bit sloppy in terms of some of our substitution there in the fourth quarter. I would have liked to have seen us put our, you know, coming out of that timeout, we had a personnel grouping on the field, and then the player that was in the huddle getting ready to go out there came to the sideline. So we're just going to have to do a better job of some of that stuff in game because, you know, a 38-21 win was good, but I would have liked to have made it 42-21. We were about to punch that in for 7 instead of just kicking the field goal, which I know was great for Charlie. He, you know, his confidence is really high right now. So that, I guess, there's a silver lining to it. But and then the last thing that we'll have to improve on is, because we're facing another athletic quarterback, is tackling in space with an athlete. We're going to have to do a better job with Skylar Williams at North Murray than we did with Jackson Pate at Sonoraville. Both really talented players and similar skill sets. I think Jackson's probably a little bit more polished as a passer right now. The Williams kid at North Murray is equally as dangerous running the football, and he does have a big arm. He's got a really live arm, so our DBs are going to have to do a good job of staying over the top stuff.
You're already kind of giving a little insight into Friday's matchup against the Mountaineers. Of course, that was a game last year. We took the road trip up to North Murray, and what was just a shootout ended up falling short 54-50 on that game. What are your thoughts going into to Friday night's matchup? How do we compare? I know you kind of talked about their new quarterback. They did graduate Seth Griffin, that was their quarterback last year, and another receiving weapon. Looks like they probably maybe lost a few more seniors and key players than maybe y'all did, but they're also, as you noted, got a mobile quarterback, and they got some athletes as well. What do you kind of expect coming into Friday night?
You know, I think that they are going to be explosive on offense. They've got some skill kids that can do stuff, like you said. They graduated the one outside receiver in the quarterback, but they moved Williams from running back to quarterback, and then they still have number 15.
Judson Petty.
He did some damage against us last year, so we're going to have to do a good job of keying on those two guys. We're going to have to I think that they're a solid team up front on the offensive line, so our defensive line is really going to have to pack a lunch. And then from a defensive standpoint, they present some issues to you because what they do is very unorthodox schematically, and so there are going to be times that they put you in positions where you're going to have a negative play, but you also are going to be put in positions where you can have a really explosive play. So when those opportunities present themselves, we've got to capitalize on them.
Coach, we appreciate that insight into Friday night's game. And, of course, again, congratulations on the week one victory. I know your focus is on North Murray Friday night, and we understand that week by week. We think you got the team going in the right direction. We just hope it keeps up and wish you all the best moving forward.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate the support. I really like the camaraderie on this team. These kids really play hard for one another. They play hard for their coaching staff. And so that's something that's very fun to come out and go to work with every day. And we want to continue to build on that. And the easiest way to do that is by winning football games, because nothing produces more buy-in than a win on Friday nights.
Absolutely. No doubt about that. Well, good luck Friday night against North Murray. Of course, we'll have coverage of that game starting with the Northside pregame show at 7 p.m. Kickoff 7:30 on 93.7, 98.1 FM and streaming online. We hope you'll tune in if you can't make it out to Dragon Stadium. We'll have coverage on Friday night. Stay with us. On the other side of the break, we'll have more outlook against North Murray.
Pueblo Cantina is Jasper's best Mexican restaurant. Local folks know they use only fresh ingredients and serve a wide variety of freshly made dishes. Restaurants come and go, but Pueblo Cantina has been open since 1997. Lunch or dinner 7 days a week. Come to Jasper's best Mexican restaurant, Pueblo Cantina, 25 Luke Carver Drive at 53 and 515 Jasper. Go Dragons!
In sports, every point counts, and at Alpha Insurance, they know when it comes to your budget, every dollar counts. That's why they work hard to get you the lowest rates and best discounts available. Plus, every Alpha policy comes with personal service from their hometown team. Call Alpha to start saving today. In Jasper, call Alpha agent Bill Lawrence at 706-692-2436 or stop by their office at 744 Noah Drive. Score savings with Alpha Insurance.
J.L. Weaver Law Firm of Jasper is proud to be part of the Pickens County community. They're behind the Dragons all the way and want to congratulate all the players, cheerleaders, and band members who've put in countless hours of work for this season. The J.L. Weaver Law Firm specializes in criminal defense, DUI, personal injury, and family law. 57 Southeast Street, Jasper. Call 706-253-1001. J.L. Weaver Law Firm.
Welcome back to Dragon Football Weekly. Jess, another great interview with Charlie and Coach Myers. Really enjoy this insight we're able to bring the fans on what's happening within the team, what they're seeing day by day, week by week as they make these preparations for Friday night. There's a lot of work, as we both know, that goes into the product you see on Friday night that a lot of times I think fans don't get access to, or maybe it's not front of mind. I think that's one of the values we are able to provide fans to kind of see what things are happening day by day, week by week.
Yeah, I think they probably do get a little more out of those interviews than they are just interested in hearing us talk. We provide kind of a third-person perspective into the team where these interviews allow us to get a first-person from both Coach Myers and I believe this is the first in-season interview we've had with a player. I know we got to do the season preview last week with some players, and we did the same thing last year, but rare that we have a player on during the season. But not only that Charlie had a great game on Friday, the fact that we didn't get to talk to him, we just talked to Coach Myers off-air there. He wasn't able to come to the season preview show due to his class schedule. We had most of the seniors on there in weight training at the time. Charlie, as he noted in our interview, is focused on his academics, and he was not in that weight training class. So it wasn't just that we omitted Charlie from that group of seniors. It was his class schedule that eliminated that from being possible. So glad he had a great game Friday and gave us yet another reason to bring him on and talk to him. I really enjoyed his interview.
I did too. Very, very intelligent young man. Bright future ahead of him for sure. One thing I want to bring up is, as we are, I know, looking ahead to North Murray Friday night at home, want to talk about this week's preparation. One thing I want to, a little insight, give the viewers at home, something to keep in mind, which I don't think it presents an unfair advantage. I'll get your thoughts on that, Jess, because the reality is North Murray most likely going to be under the same circumstance we are, and most teams are going to be under the same parameters. But Coach Myers talked to us outside of the show about heat index coming into play this week. He had to go inside for practice some today, and he's expecting over the next 2 days with the heat getting so high that he will most likely have to do some indoor practices for the teams again. That could potentially play into a factor as we go into Friday night. But again, not just for Pickens, all these teams. This is GHSA regulation for fans who aren't aware. I'm not up to date on what the exact regulation is as far as what temperature, what heat index exceeds where they can be outside. But that is something that's going to be a factor in high school sports this week.
Yeah, the boys will be having to wake up early and get in there. I wasn't a heavy participator in athletics in high school. I did play basketball for a few years, but that was the only sport I played. I never had to do the morning practice and then go to school kind of thing. I can't imagine that I would have enjoyed it very much. I tried the morning gym thing and then go to work a little bit, and I did not enjoy that very much. So thoughts goes out to those guys. They're harder workers than myself, I'm sure at that. But heat will be at play. It should be cooled down by Friday evening. I say that lightly. I would expect it still to probably be, this is just an estimate based off what I've seen, 80 to 85 at kickoff, which is definitely hot for 7:30 at night. But that is below that threshold. I do not imagine that the game would be in jeopardy of being called off due to the heat, but they will be, like you said, experiencing some different practice times and making sure even at those early morning times, everybody stays hydrated this week and that sort of thing.
Something to keep an eye on and probably maybe have some more insight on that come Friday night. Don't expect to be in as big of a factor in game as you noted, but going to be impacting most likely both these teams and their practice routines this week for sure. Something to keep an eye on. As we noted, North Murray Mountaineers making the road trip down to Jasper on Friday night. Again, a team we played last year. North Murray, a newer school. We'll have more insight on that, I'm sure, come Friday night. But a game we lost 54-50 in that shootout I noted earlier last Friday. North Murray losing some key players that we've talked about. What are the key things you're watching for and what fans can expect come Friday night?
Really, Coach Myers took a lot of what I had prepared to talk about from us. He did a good job of previewing that matchup. But like you said, one of the more exciting games we called last year, even though it was a loss, 54-50, and it was just like one after the other, big plays. And I think what he hinted on there, that their defensive style kind of lends to those boomer bust plays. We saw the evidence of that last season as it was just one score after the other. We do expect North Murray to have lost a bit of a punch with last year. They had two preseason All-State players on their offensive end, quarterback Seth Griffin and wide receiver Jaden Rice. They're both gone, replaced by, like Coach Meyer said, moving over from running back Skylar Williams. So obviously he's a mobile player and quite the athlete. You'll have to watch out for that aspect of his game. And then Judson Petty is a returning player, but he's kind of stepping in from that number two role into the lead role at wide receiver. Watch out for both of those guys. I expect the game to be very similar as it was last season, except for hoping to see a different outcome this year.
No doubt we're excited about this game Friday night. I think it's going to be a great matchup. I think the Dragons, coming off a great momentum week one, they're going to continue to build on that. I think they'll match up very well against North Murray. I do, as you noted, Coach Meyer noticed, I expect offense come Friday night. We'll see what comes of it. Of course, we'll have coverage for you, the fans, all night long, starting with the Northside Hospital pregame show at 7 p.m. Kickoff, 7:30. Be sure to tune in 93.7, 98.1 FM and streaming online. As always, we want to thank our sponsors that make this broadcast to you, the fans, available, and also want to thank Tri-State Communications Sports Network for presenting this to you. I'm Tucker Green alongside Jess Walker. We'll see you Friday night in Dragon Stadium, week 2, regular season. Take care.